everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the Uncanny Curse podcast. Episode 10. Is no one else excited about that?
Yeah, we made it to 10. We're almost a full anime season of a podcast.
Heck yeah. Well, half a season.
I mean, there's some lazy anime that are like 12, 13 episodes.
Yeah, it's because it only runs for half a season then. Half a broadcast season. You should, why am I telling you this? Anyway, today we are going over issue 104, The Gentleman's Name is Magneto. And with me, as always, as you've heard, are Alex and Larry, my lovely co-hosts, who co-host with me.
Hello. How about that racist barn burner?
We're not going to talk about that.
We're not getting into any of that. Let's just keep it on the racist mutant haters for now. Thank you very much.
This is a wholesome place. We do not bring that into this wholesome, beautiful place.
Oh, God.
All I'm saying is Magneto looks better and better every day. He took all of his friends, people who agreed with him, and just fucked off to an island and said, as long as you don't mess with us, we're all going to be fine.
Well, there is a reason in this comic that we'll learn why he looks better than a man his age probably should. But I guess we'll get there.
Does it have anything to do with the way they turned that presidential candidate from the first live-action movie into a jellyfish man?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
No. Didn't you do the homework and read the issue?
Nobody does the homework and reads anything.
Jesus, why?
I skimmed it. Literally.
But I did read this before, so we'll be fine.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into my lovely written script that no one cares about except for me.
Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be more fun this way.
Well, the recap for today's issue is pretty short, pretty sweet. Not a ton happens, but we do get some cool stuff. In this issue, it's mostly the X-Men getting whooped by Magneto.
Yeah,
but before we get to the fighting, the issue begins with our dear X-Men trying to charter a boat, which is, you know, always fun and mundane, and they get yelled at by old fishermen, you know, fun stuff. Moira's called them because they are still in, I'm assuming, Ireland. They could be in Scotland now. It's not really clear where they are, but they're in that general area. She's called them because she's very worried about her secret lab.
And they're like, I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah, secret lab? About that.
Secret what?
Wait, aren't you the nanny?
Yeah.
Like, can you elaborate on the secret lab, madam?
Paranoid crazy lady say what now?
Exactly. So they do eventually, they're able to get the boat, which they leave the dock, and then I'm assuming almost immediately it explodes because that's how things work in X-Men land. But they do make it, so I guess they were a little bit closer than it doesn't really imply how far. It doesn't even apply where they are, honestly. So boat explodes, they make it to shore, and then they almost immediately then get snatched off the ground and almost smash into the wall of the laboratory, which is this giant looming structure on this island. I want to know who's paying for it, but that could just be me.
That's clearly a Frank Gehry building too. That thing cost a lot.
Yeah. But they're able to smash their way in before they become X-Men pancakes. And after they're smashed inside, and they're like, they literally get to sit for like 2 seconds, like, what the fuck? And then Magneto shows up, and then they start fighting. While that fight is starting, Scott and Moira are, in the X-Jet trying to get there as fast as they can. Scott is questioning why he's never heard of this secret lab before from...
As one does.
As one does.
Tells you she has a secret lab.
Yeah. And then he's also very concerned that crazy, powerful mutants are just kept there in cells. It's basically a jail. Because Moira's life work, as she says, is to essentially recondition these mutants who apparently
Who sanctions this? How many of these reconditionings are voluntary?
I'm going to go at none. She wants to make them hate humanity less.
I felt bad for this lady till just now.
Right?
I can't help but think of the
until she got real Nazi-esque.
I can't help but think of the, like, you know, those sexuality reorientation camps.
Oh, yeah. The
like the Pray the Gay Away camps. Yeah. Yeah. Except this lady's doing it with science, with like brain altering science.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to, you know, necessarily like the most powerful mutants who hate humanity have probably good, you know, done terrible atrocities being in some kind of jail.
Yeah.
It's the reconditioning that I have a problem with. But we'll get to that. Moving on.
The reconditioning is
concerning.
I'm gonna say not the best look for you.
No, let's just be blunt. This you add the word reconditioning to anything, it's never a good look.
No,
it always makes you look sus.
No, and
if you had an air conditioner, which technically does recondition air to make it colder and called an air reconditioner, you're like, wait, are you taking this air and sexuality away? I think the air has rights.
Yes.
You know, I will say sometimes you recondition upholstery and furniture.
Yeah, but that still weather. Sounds weird.
Upholstery lives matter.
Moving on. once they get inside, they find her employee,
Slaves.
Jamie Maddox, who is unconscious. He provides some much needed exposition as to what the heck has happened. Because literally at this point, all we know is Moira called the X-Men who are still in the British Isles somewhere. and she's like, hey, something's gone down at my secret lab. Can y'all check it out? And that's really all we know. And then Magneto, bam. so he's, you know, doing his rounds, checking everything out, because he's essentially a prison guard. And he's attacked by Eric the Red, Polaris, and Havoc. They release Magneto, who we also see Xavier turned into a toddler in a previous issue. Not in this run, that's in a different run. I think that said Defenders 16, maybe.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they zap him with some kind of ray thing, and he's reverted back to an adult, a very powerful, very angry adult. Yeah. An enraged Magneto then kind of makes a deal with Eric the Red, and they hatch and enact their plan to destroy the X-Men. Scott has the biggest oh shit moment when he hears this. And runs off to try to save the rest of the X-Men team, which is good because they're not doing good. They not doing good against Magneto.
That's a question.
Yes.
Who's the dude in the green and yellow gimp suit?
This is why you should do the reading.
Because I kind of did the reading. Maddox. He's what?
That's, I'm assuming you're talking about Jamie Maddox, the employee guy.
Okay. I really hope he's getting paid a lot, because that's not a great uniform.
I mean, it's no worse than Havoc's, to be honest.
Yeah, but Havoc, like, continues to wear it out of choice. He like, goes to work and, like, zips up the back.
No one in Moira's organization is getting paid shit. Let's just be blunt.
Oh, so she's running a reconditioning facility, and she has indentured servants / slaves.
I mean, Jamie's probably somebody she reconditioned, so.
Who knows? Anywho. So, yeah, Scott, the X-Men are getting their asses kicked. Magneto is very powerful. I've not read, you know, where Magneto showed up first, because that's a part of the series that I refuse to read for reasons I will keep to myself. So he just seems very powerful and does way more than I feel like he should be able to. But I'm sure it's fine. Scott is able to optic blast Magneto and stun him long enough for everyone to get out and get back onto the jet and get away. Magneto then, triumphant against his foes, strolls out of the half-destroyed laboratory, walking past many powerful mutants who have or will soon escape. And I'm sure that that'll definitely work out for the best, and we won't see them later at all. Project X with suspicious green smoke. I'm sure it's fine. Before the issue ends, scene shifts to space. Beautiful, beautiful space. I love when these issues do space. They just do it so much better than everything on Earth. We get a few panels of Starjammer and his gang. They'll become very important in the coming
issues. That's Guff's dad, right?
Spoilers.
They look like each other. Also, it's in the 90s cartoon when he's like, "Dad, why were you never there?" He's like, "Because I'm a space pirate, bitch," and then he runs off.
Very important in the coming issues. The woman Charles keeps seeing in his dreams and visions has finally reached Earth's perimeter, but she's being chased and attacked by other starships. And finally, back on Earth, we see Xavier is visiting with Jean, her parents, and her roommate, who honestly should have her own comic, as we will see.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm sure he's totally not being creepy or weird and trying to recondition Jean. I'm sure it's fine. Everything's fine.
So much reconditioning happening.
Oh, God.
And yeah, and that is the gist of issue 104.
Okay, so now before we get into this issue, because there's a lot of stuff we want to talk about with this issue, but before we get to that, so I was watching this video today, earlier this week, actually, where they were talking about, like, how the comics were when they first came out and why they weren't successful, and then it got canceled and restarted, and shortly after the restart is where we ended up with the team and the stories we have now, and Chris Claremont took over. And one of the things Chris Claremont did different when he took over the run is he essentially made it more of a soap opera, and we'll definitely see more of that as his run continues. But that's when people really started to take interest. And I feel like this is probably a conversation we should have had earlier, but when X-Men first got started, it really was more of a, essentially a ripoff of other comics that already existed, like Four and Doom Patrol. And it really was just kind of, let's just come up with another standard superhero team thing.
Right.
But when this current run started, it kind of came into its own identity more. Like, the characters were more original. The team as a whole was more original. The things that they did was more specific to them. X-Men really did take on its own identity. And
we got rid of all the racial sensitivity in like two issues in record time, with one death.
And so, and obviously people were much more receptive to that than they were to the original comic. So I feel like that was something worth noting, how, you know, cookie cutter X-Men did not work, but Chris Claremont's superpowered soap opera with this very diverse team, people like that. And we'll continue to see how that idea of his evolved as the story goes on.
Yeah,
but now,
really, when you think about like the original group, they are kind of boring, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bunch of white kids.
And the thing is, and like people might hear, current fans could hear that and think, how dare you? But no, people were bored with it. Nobody read X-Men.
Obviously.
It failed. That's not an opinion. It is a fact. You know, it happened.
So the weird thing about X-Men is part of the superhero thing, and you know, you certainly know this if you're into Spider-Man,
Which you have heard our special episode about Spider-Man by now. But part of those comics is they do an origin issue. The first issue is always the origin issue. And from what I gather for X-Men, because they're just mutants, they were just born that way, the first issue is just drops you kind of into it. And it's like, you don't have any buildup. You're just like, okay, here are these things, off to the races. But as much as people hate hearing all the origin stories of like Spider-Man over and over again, there is some entertainment value to that. And you kind of
a chance to figure out who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you a chance to figure out who the person is. And that's part of the reason why Spider-Man works so well is you know his origin story so well that you know who the character is before you know who the superhero is. And they, like, Peter Parker is generally a really, like, sweet, well-meaning dude, unless you count Spider-Man 3, which we don't talk about in polite society. he's, like, a sweet, caring, gentle dude, and then they have his superhero personality be this, like, wisecracking, superpowered asshole who, like, mocks villains the entire time he's fighting them. And it makes for really entertaining, like, oh, he feels comfortable being like this when he's in a mask and he's using his fucking powers, but he doesn't feel comfortable being like this when, like, his definitely gonna die of lung cancer cigar-chomping boss screams at him and says, we gotta put Spider-Man in jail because I'm the Marvel Universe's fucking Alex Jones.
I don't know. I don't think Jonas believes that the water is turning frogs gay. But
I will say,
see your point.
Did you see Far From Home?
No, I don't watch movies.
No, but because the end of Far From Home, they just straight up like, but what if Joe Jonas Jameson was like Marvel Universe Alex, like he just Alex Jones. He'd been like kicked off the air and now has his own weird internet show.
I'm here for it.
But anyway, getting back to the origin story thing, the first issue of X-Men really does just drop you in. Like, here's the School of Mutants. These are the students. I think the only proper introduction you get is Jean, because it's her first day arriving at the school. But then with the current team, they actually have to be found. Like, he has to go to these different places and meet these people and gather them together and, like, make his sales pitch and all for them to come here. So they definitely have more of an origin story.
Now, we're probably not going to go through, like, the giant issues, but does that happen in the giant issues, or is the giant issues just a rehash of the, like, old comics just in a different format?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure because I haven't read the giant issue either. But the concept of the origin story is definitely more synonymous with the second team than the first. I mean, they did go back. They have gone back several times and revisited the idea of what the original team's origin would have been. But that's not how they were first introduced. They were kind of just there, you know? And for the most part, like I said, the idea of an origin story for the X-Men is usually attributed more to the second team and how they came about. Like, whereas the first team is like, yeah, they've had a couple of stories covering their origin, but it's like, so what? You know?
Well, really, I want to say one of the most interesting parts of, at least for me, of this iteration of X-Men is when Banshee, when they were all in space about to fight their robot doppelgangers, and Banshee's just like, wait, I thought the claws were part of the costume, and Wolverine's like, nope, they in me. And like, that is like, that opens up the entire Wolverine thing in a way that it probably wasn't open before that. And it also like gives Banshee this moment of like, oh, fuck, what? Excuse me, huh?
Why are the metal claws inside
Do we get Wolverine's like story in this run, or is that like something totally different?
I think it's his like origin is covered in bits and pieces all throughout. Ah. Like there's a part, yeah. Actually, I think it's in this comic where Magneto like starts throwing Colossus around because he's all metal.
Yeah,
but he does it to Wolverine. He's just like whoop.
Yeah, he doesn't really do anything to Wolverine, and it's like it. I don't think it was even established by the writers that the adamantium was all through him. That might have been a later addition. Otherwise, it was like, oh, there's metal in you too. Yoink, you know.
Yoink. Oh, hey, those sparkle. Whoop.
Yeet.
Okay, I want to. that just reminds me, I've been playing, on a total side note, I've been playing Hitman. I'm not sure if I'm good or like playing that game, even though I love watching it, but I do love just yeeting expired cans of spaghetti sauce at people's heads. It's a personal passion of mine.
Why are they expired?
He's not going to yeet fresh cans of spaghetti sauce at people.
Exactly! I would get caught faster if I... Like, I'm already a janitor in the kitchen just fucking packing my pockets with cans of spaghetti sauce. If I took the fresh one, they would find out.
Oh, I'm concerned that this restaurant is serving people expired spaghetti sauce.
It's not a restaurant. It's a villa on a Spanish island.
I'm more concerned now.
where I have killed, I want to say 70% of the staff, and they're sitting in laundry boxes strategically throughout.
They're just trying to earn their living.
Some of them are knocked out, I think, but they won't wake up, so technically they might. I put them in a soup coma.
Oh, God. Anyway, getting on.
Moving on.
I actually had something I wanted to say about page 2 specifically.
Oh, well, before we get to that, I want to say something about this cover. So, like, everybody's making a cool entrance. You know, Wolverine slashing at Magneto's force field. Scott is trying to blast at it. Storm's throwing lightning, and Nightcrawler is swinging in on this random like trapeze thing. Where is that coming from? Like, why couldn't they just have him teleport in or something? Like,
also, isn't this a recreation of the original first
cover? Oh, you know what? I think it is.
Yeah, but like with some added stuff in it, but it's totally like. The original first cover with Magneto in the corner doing the magnetism thing and Scott trying to beam through it.
Yeah. Which you know what? I respect that. But I still need to know the story behind what the hell it is.
And then they definitely just pasted this offhand drawing someone did. Like, give me my X-Acto knife. This is a good one. I'm cutting this out. We're going to use some glue. They'll never know once we photocopy it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can Magneto physically be in this position?
No.
Oh, we'll get to Magneto. Get to standard Magneto anatomy like, is he later. Like, I promise.
Like, I feel like it's when you have a Barbie and you just like with a, you know, like some Barbies or action figures or whatever have like a twisty waist.
Yeah.
And you twist him to the side.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They actually
like, I can totally do it, and I'm not in good shape. So, I mean, technically, I guess you could be, but he also looks like he's trying to take a giant dump.
They use that pose a lot with female characters in the 90s so they could show off the ass and the tits at the same time, but your back is still broken.
But so I wanted to mention something about, I wanted to mention a couple things about page 2. First off, it's like the 70s, and it's just a bunch of costume fucking freaks that show up on your dock and like, hey, we need a boat out now. That's one thing. And then we have the first contenders for faces of the issue. Real early, real quick. All the way at the bottom of the page.
fucking Twisty Stash and his most paranoid of skeleton friends with skin strapped over his bones.
Oh, it does tell you where they are. I just didn't actually read this pink panel.
Now who's I not just doing went, the homework?
I went directly into the speech bubbles around.
Storing away.
They are 50 miles off the northwest coast of Scotland.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And Nightcrawler, being his cinnamon bun self, is like, "Good morning, mine heron." I probably butchered that. "It's a beautiful day, is it not?" And they're just like,
Oh,
God. He's got pointy ears.
Oh, I'm a good Christian. I don't think I'm allowed to talk to that thing. We need to go.
Yeah.
The dude with the bowl cut had definitely been up like all night doing shrooms with
and why did
his friends and like, "Oh, I think I'm going bad."
And why did he randomly put Colossus in blue pants?
Yeah. Do you think what
color are his pants normally?
He has no pants normally.
Yeah, he had no pants.
That's right.
Do you think like he carries around like a pair of blue tights, like shrink wrap, like you can get from Muji in New York City, just for decency's sake?
That is a lot to go through.
I mean, maybe he was chilly.
I suppose they are on the water now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know what season it is, so it could be cold.
Do you think they stopped somewhere on their way from the castle and picked up some blue actor tights, maybe?
No, because this is like, this has to be literally right after, because like in a page or two, like Banshee's like, "Yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't have shown up at the dock in our costumes."
Yeah.
At least someone's like, "Oh, hey, we showed up looking like we were ready to fucking go to just these fishermen and act for a boat."
But I kind of like that this is the first page of the comic and you've got the whole team decked out and it's literally just Banshee haggling with the boatman about, "Hey, we gotta sign an agreement."
Yeah. It's like, "Bitch, you're already paid. This boat is paid for. We are taking
This is another thing about this iteration of X-Men in particular is, I bet this is one of the reasons why Chris Claremont got rid of like fucking Firebird and the problem of Fireflower, whatever the name is, and Thunderbird, because like those are characters who are so a problem, b ostentatious, and also a problem to like be able to have a hilarious scene or like, "Now the superheroes need to haggle with this boat rental place." And like, this is the second thing. This is the first page you see in this thing. And like, it's important, but also it totally doesn't need to exist. And it's fabulous that it does.
Well, that's what's great about it. Like, we could have just started with them on the water, but no, we need to see Banshee haggling with this dude.
Also, it's not just a boat, it's a hovercraft.
It's a hovercraft.
What? That's your first mistake. Hovercrafts are like for the swamps of Louisiana. What are they doing in a hovercraft on the ocean?
Who are we to question this night's Scotsman's? Scotsman, I can't speak words.
Can I ask a technical question that we probably won't be able to answer? Are hovercrafts good for like ocean depth level of water? I was under the understanding that like the ground needed to be closer to you.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I thought it just floated on the water surface.
Or is that just hydrofoils?
You know what?
I know nothing about boats. I don't know how boats work.
The point
I
is,
barely know how my car works.
Subtitle: I don't know how boats work.
The point is, they take the hovercraft / boat, and it immediately gets blown up.
Basically, yeah.
See, this is why we don't let the tourists take our nice hovercrafts.
Pretty much.
Although,
give them shitty robots.
Although, like Colossus says, since you intend to keep our money, it seems only fair that we keep your hovercraft boat. Yeah? Yeah?
I mean, I'm not 100% sure that's how that transaction is supposed to work, but whatever. What do I know about chartering boats?
Can I ask? We've already established you don't know how boats work.
And I don't know how to rent one.
Can I ask a really weird question? On this boat that they rented, and then Colossus is like, we just go keep this, and you go and keep our money. Or we take your eyes as collateral, comrade. You're the captain driving the boat?
Oh, no, it's Banshee. No,
I thought Banshee is driving the boat.
Yeah. Who's the dude with the mustache and the captain's hat, then?
That's the guy they rented it for, but he's not on the boat.
No, they hung him up on a hook.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This dark side looking motherfucker is Colossus, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
That is Colossus's you don't want to see me angry face.
That is the worst.
Also, once again, another competitor for face of the issue.
The sweatiest, I cheated on my taxes and I'm currently in the middle of being caught at the IRS office face. And they get real blown up.
I guess this was a 2-page spread
I'm curious, have we ever seen a 2-page spread in this comic before?
I'm like 99% sure. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I also don't have very good memory.
I mean, they probably have done it for one of the space. I think they did it for like one of the space scenes. Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, they did it for
I think they did
the
it
first when time coming Xavier, back to Earth. When Xavier mind meld with that demon because he's a moron. Mm. That was a 2-page spread. Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot actually.
Yeah, I just was like, we don't see this this often. Have we ever seen this? Huh? And then we get Wet Cat Wolverine, which is the best.
Yeah.
We get Wet Cat everyone, but Banshee's still selling it like he's in a fucking shampoo commercial, but not happy about it.
That's his nature.
Banshee is definitely, when he was like a young man, Banshee was definitely the like kid who had tons of money and looked fabulous at all times and was friendly to everybody, and everybody secretly hated him, but they couldn't actually hate him because he was too nice.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get this lovely scene where they're all tiny looking up at the giant laboratory, and Storm's just like pouring water out of her boot.
Just trying to wring out her cape.
She's probably like, God damn it, these motherfuckers.
This is probably the most like human weird shit they've ever done to this comic. Like, I hope this is the turn this comic takes of like, we get like weird fucking Nightcrawler trying to hail a taxi and like, Storm walking home carrying her boots over her shoulder because her high heels hurt her feet.
At that point.
And this top panel where you see them all coming out, like Storm's in the back there behind Nightcrawler. And I can just imagine her as a black woman being like, my hair!
Yeah, just like fucking some weird deep relation between Storm and Logan, because Logan's costume is clearly not made for water, and there's Storm's hair, and they're just like, this motherfucker, god damn it. I'm gonna have to use a whole Storm's hair takes a whole bottle of whatever special shampoo she uses. Because there's so much hair on that woman. Oh my god.
She probably takes it from Banshee. Like, just borrows whatever he uses.
No, she can't, because Banshee has, like, not just white hair.
Yeah.
But, like, Irish white hair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, his shampoo wouldn't work for her.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know this, Larry.
Oh, good. Well, oh, I think on the next page they're being, like, yanked up, looks like.
Also,
yeah, there's a force field.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's what they're...
They got blown up so hard that it blew Colossus's pants off.
Yeah.
It looks that way. Also, his blue pants are gone, aren't they?
That is so Chris Claremont just, like, goes down to the corner store to buy the first print of the issue, and he comes back to, like, his assistant. He's like, excuse me? What is this? Why is he wearing pants? You're fired. Finish that page and then you're fired. No way, you're putting pants on him again. I can see it. Get the fuck out.
In any case, the ground gets yoked up and, you know, goes flying off with them on it, and they're about to crash. And then Banshee's just like, oh shit.
Oh no, oh my God, I just had to stop. What if Forget-Me-Not is just putting pants on and off of Colossus? This entire thing.
Just to screw with him.
Just to screw with him. Oh, that's a good Banshee face. Oh, Jesus.
And they all just literally punch through the door with, like, all their different powers.
Well, at some point when you are picked, when, like, you, but not only you are, but, like, the whole section of ground you're on are picked up and, like, levitated into the side of a building, you're either, like, either I die or I guess it's what we're doing, metal up, charge up, let's go.
I guess.
If it's this or die, I pick this.
But although I am curious, like, two of them can fly, one can teleport, and the other two could probably survive a fall from wherever that thing is. Why didn't they just get off?
So, Larry.
Force field.
Oh, okay, I guess, yeah.
But also, Larry, have you ever, after something went bad on you, known that you could have prevented it from going bad in the moment, not been able to do that because you were overwhelmed with, oh fuck.
Yeah, I guess.
This seems like that scenario. The X-Men always seem like they're in that scenario, like that time in the first issue, in fact, when their jet got blown out of the sky and, like, literally everybody could have just handled that shit. But they were like, what if we rely on the two racial minorities, the Irish dude, the two racial minorities who are also adults, aside from Logan, because he really does not care, the Irish dude and the black lady to get us out of this predicament. I mean, what are the X-Men? The U.S. government?
Magneto.
There it is.
You know what? This is like a classic supervillain entrance. It's like, greetings, X-Men. I bid you welcome to the site of your final battleground. Like, okay. What the fuck? I am Magneto.
I would like to call your attention to something we were talking about on the cover. You look at Magneto's body. Like, the only thing, like, from about the top of his purple underwear to, like, the midpoint of his thigh, the only thing that fits in there is, like, his junk and his six pack, because there's no room for any other organs. It, like, barrel chests into, like, a funnel shape. And then it's just, like, leg day all day, every day, motherfucker.
Well, again, yeah, it's like when he was brought to adulthood. I have to wonder, like, when they were bringing him to adulthood, did he just reach a point, like, in his mid-20s or so, where he was like, okay, this is good. You can stop here.
I don't know. You expect these things to be explained? This is a goddamn X-Men comic.
Well, also, I'm getting really, maybe it's because I just watched The History of Swearing on Netflix, the first episode of that. I'm getting real Nicolas Cage vibes from the face they put in Magneto's mask.
I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I like how he says, "Look on me, X-Men, for I am your oldest, deadliest foe." Seen him before? Has he ever seen any of them before? Like, I mean, I understand his sentiment, but I feel like it's a little bit lost on those in the room.
Yeah, the rest of them are just like, I'm sorry, who are you?
Yeah, what?
Excuse me?
What's Magneto?
At least take me out for a drink first.
They're like Wolverine in the first movie. It was like, what's a Magneto?
Yeah, what?
A mag what? Oh, God! Which I'm glad they at least have always used that to its potential of like, oh, hey, you got metal bones. Whoopity whoop 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 whoop.
I think it's interesting
I'm not
that.
Sure if that was established yet, because you literally never see him like do that to Wolverine in his book. So
I thought you did. I thought that's what he was doing with Wolverine.
I think he snatches him up by the claws later, but not like.
Oh, it's not his full skeleton, it's just the claws? Okay.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that adamantium is magnetic.
Well, yes, that's the thing. Like, what's the term? Is it like phosphorus metals? Is that? But basically, magnet. Like, not all metals are affected.
So, what did that mean for like the professor's the rate of times the professor needs to go swap out the TV? Well, it's not like magnets, like you touch a magnet to a TV. That's what I was thinking. But if Wolverine leans up against the fridge, do all the magnets just stick to him?
Probably not, because those magnets aren't very strong, and they'd have to go through all his skin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have fun here. Let me have my fun.
Those crazy, crazy super magnets, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, like the one I have over there. Don't ask me why I have a super magnet. I need it. Sure. Since I was a child. Don't know why, but I need
it. They're for your dark rituals. It's fine.
That's a very well-drawn Blackbird on the next page.
It is. And a very well-drawn Scott face.
Yes.
Where he's like, about this mutant research center that I've never heard of before.
Oh, yeah. And then Moira has the nerve to be like, you sound angry, Cyclops. Yeah, bitch. Yeah, I wonder why.
A complex.
I would just be like, hey, Scott, what's 4 + 4? Why he's trying to like re-access that information. I'm just like, don't we say what?
A complex designed to cage the most dangerous mutants in existence. And, well, that Scott says that, Moira is over here with, and perhaps cure their hatred for humanity.
Right.
I feel like based on what you see later in X-Men, maybe that's deserved. Maybe like these people, these mutants just want to be left alone.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like this is the kind of thing that is simultaneous. Like, in her mind, it's the solution to the problem, but to someone like a Holocaust survivor, for example, it's the cause of the whole problem.
I wonder why that's relevant. Maybe you turned one into a baby and put him in a cage.
Yeah.
Little things.
Once again, all Magneto's master plan was fucking off to an island.
Oh, God.
I mean, honestly, Magneto's hatred for humanity, I feel like, is warranted.
Yeah!
I'm not mad when he tries to destroy humanity. Like, look, dude, you've been through a lot.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, especially when we find out what happened to him later on in this book, I feel like every time they try to explain why he's doing what he's doing, which again is totally valid. If you're going to have a reason, if you're going to have a villain, he has to have a good, understandable reason for wanting to do shit.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's like, not a good villain.
Yeah. But every time they do that with Magneto, it's like, you know what? Point.
and also, I don't have a good rebuttal to that.
Go.
If you want like the ultimate end of like, oh, maybe Magneto was right to like fuck off to an island. Go read the X-Men that was the run of X-Men called the New X-Men that was released circa 2011 after the sometime after the 2001 original movie came out, after all the movies were out, because whatever the uber mutants are, I forget what they're called, Larry, you probably know.
Omegas?
Like an Omega level mutant just takes over. Oh Jesus, it's a loading bar. Just takes over an entire Sentinel facility in like Africa and launches them at the island, killing.
Oh yeah,
including Magneto. From what I understand, Magneto had not done anything to these people to anyone. In a long time, aside from offering people with mutant powers or mutant appearances a place to come and live and get free education.
Yeah.
And that's basically Nelson Mandela, and they blew him up for it. Oh, that's great.
That's the other thing, and this is kind of a... This is why people in, like, both in the comics and fans, it's kind of like, you guys kind of suck. Because whenever anybody brings up Genosha and how that might be a reason for why mutants are a little pissed with humanity, they're always kind of like, oh my god, it like, that was like so long ago, it was like, get over it. But if you really think about the circumstances, it was like, imagine the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust times like many times over, and all that death happened in one day, and the event that took place in happened like maybe 2 years ago in comic book time. Get over it should not be in your vocabulary at all. Like,
motherfucker, we don't get over that shit. Like, especially when, like, and maybe it's just because it's not focused on ever, but, like, all the other human hatred bullshit, like racism, like normal racism, seems to have shifted to, now we hate them muties.
Yeah.
A term some racist asshole in this universe actually used. So it's like, so you mean you were able to conquer the concept of, like, Black people are aggrieved because of slavery hundreds of years ago, creating a fucked up environment where they could never get ahead. But like, you should just let it go that we blew up an entire country formed to benefit and advance you as a new being in the world.
Yeah, no, there's
2 years ago.
There's this comic, Mutant Massacre, the story Mutant Massacre.
Oh, God.
And in that
story... Oh, God, story, right. Holy hell.
Yeah, and in that story, like, somebody's doing... I think this is news person, like, interviewing some guy who's, like, very anti-mutant. And he's basically talking about how he's not a racist and, like, how, you know, he's, like... He starts talking about his Black friend and, like, if anybody made a comic Black friend... He would like punch the shit out of this guy, but then talking like, but these mutants, it's like, okay, first of all, the whole I'm not racist because I have a Black friend is like bad enough, but then it's like, you immediately switch from I'm not racist, but that only comes to humans. Mutants are something else.
as we're seeing in our current everyday lives, I'm not racist, but not a good thing to say.
No.
I'm not racist, but I am Racist Plus, which comes at the cost of a $9 subscription to re-elect Trump in 2024. But I understand. Listen, I really don't care if that causes us to lose listeners at all.
We only have like one, so.
We have six, thank you.
I don't know, it's currently sitting at 4, I think, on the Anchor thing. So.
The other two people will get to it. It's fine.
I'm not racist. I just enjoy an occasional lynching and cross burning every now and then.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm not racist, we got the gallows on the Capitol lawn really quickly.
Yeah. Oh my God, I remember that. Speaking of which, have either of you seen the clip of people beating the shit out of the Capitol Police with Blue Lives Matter flags?
Oh, God.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
If I guess it's just this, like, maybe a year, like 2 or 3 years in advance, you're like, the fuck are they talking about? What I want you to do, Delonte, get your history book and turn to, like, I'm going to guess chapter 60. And, like, 10 pages into that, you'll see some in big letters, assault on the Capitol. That's talking about the one you think it's talking about. That's not a lost Star Wars novel chapter. That's real. It happened for us on Wednesday. It's a good time.
Getting back to this comic.
Getting back to happier things.
they find Jamie. Like
re-education.
They find Jamie and he's like, if you brought the X-Men here, you've murdered them. Because that's what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jamie, oh, it's Mad Rocks. I'm sorry. I kept saying Maddox. My bad. So apparently he is from giant sized FF number 4.
Is his face too small for his head?
Maybe. Look, they can't all be drawn well, okay? These people are on a time budget.
I mean, there's a excellent drawing of Eric the Red and a terrible child drawing of Eric the Red on the same page later.
Yeah, literally the next page. Who drew this child?
Yeah.
He's like those memes where you see like the really screwed up looking cats and horses. Where it's like Renaissance painter. Yeah, I totally know how to draw a cat. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. That'll be $29.95.
I'm watching this, and I'm gonna try and focus more. I promise. I'm watching this like super memeable anime from I think like 2 seasons ago, where cats are like a side focus in this thing, except they have normal cats, and then they have this gray cat who's supposed to be like a memeable thing, but he's just a nightmare thing. It's like instead of putting his eyes in his head, they gave him like Mitch McConnell eyes pasted on his head, and they're like full spheres, like shade and everything, and they're orange. It's upsetting.
Weird.
Eric the Red is in a very saucy pose on this next page.
Oh, where he's sitting in the chair. Yeah.
He is selling it.
Yeah. So this is where we find out, you know, as I kind of said in the recap, that they went to Magneto's. Well, they took out Jamie over here. And they went to Magneto's cell, which Magneto has been in ever since he was turned into a baby, which, one, this is not a baby, and two, that is horrifying.
Yeah.
And
who turned him into a baby? Do we know?
You know Xavier. What? I think, huh?
Xavier.
I thought it was that that mutate he created.
I thought it was Xavier.
If it was Xavier, he needs to be tried for war crimes.
No, I think because I'm pretty sure Magneto, I forget what the mutate's name is, but like he actually made like this mutate.
I don't know. Down here it says Xavier.
It like turned on him. And
down here it definitely says that shit back.
Which, I mean, maybe he just thinks it was Xavier.
Maybe.
It was probably Xavier, though.
So now I really
want... Y'all discuss this page. I'm going to Google it.
So now I really want a portrayal of Ian McKellen as...
A baby with Ian McKellen's Magneto voice.
No. I want this. I want Ian McKellen as the character of Magneto to have, like, psychologically sticking, like, subconscious traits from when he was a baby. So, like, he's sucking his entire thumb in between every word of, like, a monologue. Oh, like, Charles.
Well, that's just...
You think that the world would be better without humans?
Well, that would just come across as dementia.
I mean, he's like, what, 80?
Yeah, that would be him going through his second childhood, but not the kind that we're talking about.
At least kill the dude. You don't just Detective Conan somebody and then give him to your, like, ex-fiance slash future housekeeper and be like, take good care of my lifelong friend.
Well, that's what he did.
Man, Charles Xavier, the real piece of shit.
Did you find it, Lauren?
I'm currently trying to, like, speed read something that is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, no.
So it's, it happens in a Defenders issue.
Yeah.
Okay. It
does not tell me which one, because that would make too much G-dang sense.
Really? G-dang?
Oh, this says Defenders number 16.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've been following the news lately, but Chuck Scarbo said fuck on basic cable. We're allowed to think goddamn on a podcast. I gotta look that up, because that feels like an amazing moment where he would just like, nope, I work for the network, they're gonna pay this. I'ma say fuck on basic cable.
Wait, who said that?
A news anchor in response, like, he was like, they stormed the fucking Capitol in response to some asshole who was trying to, like, defend the racist barn burning brigade on CNN. He was like, they stormed the fucking Capitol, dude. You don't get to make up excuses.
Oh my God, this article is wordier than I am.
I mean, that's not much most times, honestly.
I don't care why they're in this stupid cave. Get to why he turned into a baby.
Oh, I wish I could cut trailers for these episodes, because that would be amazing.
Oh, apparently Magneto made a person. He made Alpha, the ultimate mutant.
Yeah.
Excuse me? He out here making motherfuckers?
He's out here making people.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God.
How? I want to ask how, but I don't want to make you read another article.
I mean, I'm sure it says it. I'm literally scanning.
One of the things he can do. He did it with magnetism, I'm sure.
Yeah, some bullshit. Who the fuck knows?
Like, if I just inject a penny into five babies, I can pull them together hard enough and they'll make a whole new person. And if I only use dead babies, I don't even need to cause any brain damage.
Oh, I think I'm almost there.
Oh, that's good. Are you just looking for who? I'm just going to do this thing where you type it into Google and say who turned Magneto into a baby and see what happens.
Well, it's not a who. It's like a whole bullshit thing.
Yeah. I just mostly want to know who turned Magneto.
Oh, well, it wasn't Charles Xavier at all.
Who was it?
The stupid alpha mutant thing.
Oh, that feels more in bounds. That feels like, oh, I didn't want to be alive, but now I am. Baby! And also, that's a very Magneto hoisted by his own petard situation, which feels right. Well, here's your 10 bizarre adventures of Magneto.
What?
All right. Well, anyway, because we gotta do stuff. Because I gotta go get my car at some point. All right. Moving on. Baby. It's not a baby anymore. Hatch a plan. Scott's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So are we led to believe that this happens in in between, like, Scott, like, while Scott and the gang are on the island running around, and like, they just haven't checked the Congress room where Eric the Red and Magneto are hanging out, being like, okay, so what we're gonna do is when they come through this door, we're gonna dump water on Wolverine so he looks like a wet cat again and we can laugh. Is that what's happening?
No, I think this was like the day before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have a lot of good poses for Magneto.
Why does Scott constantly refer to the team as kids?
I don't know. Some of them are at least as old or older than him. So I don't know what he's talking about.
I think because he's
like
a
really
shitbag.
Condescending and annoying.
It really is.
Scott's always condescending and annoying. Like, I know I talked about this before, but like, every author writes Scott like he's this like valiant knight, but he's just a douchebag to people. Like, the most you ever feel for Scott is, I understand where you're coming from, and then immediately like, but you're also being an asshole.
Because the thing is, okay, Banshee looks to be older than Scott. Wolverine looks to be in his 30s, which is older than Scott, but then we already know he's even older than that. But just
he's like 102 or something.
I would say
he's
older than Scott. And it's like everybody else, Storm is probably about the same age. Colossus might be a little younger. Colossus and Nightcrawler might be younger, but it's like they're all either in his age group or older than him. So I don't know where he gets his kids thing from. Like, but anyway,
I also feel like it's possible because the way Xavier explained to Scott that he had to lead the X-Men, he's like, Scotty needs to be a big boy now.
But anyway, so on the next page, oh yeah, so this is what I was talking about. On the next page, you see like Magneto yanks Wolverine by his claws. And Wolverine
okay, so
specifically
it's by his
says,
claws.
My
okay.
claws.
Yeah.
So it's like it's that he's pulling. It's not the whole skeleton.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But he does yeet Colossus.
Yeah, he does yeet Colossus's entire body, yes.
And he's also somehow able to deflect and send Storm's lightning bolts back at her.
Okay, so here's
I'm not a scientist.
Magnetism and electrons, it technically makes sense, I'm sure.
So this is kind of a thing that they allude to in the early comics, but they get into more detail in the later comics, is that Magneto can control pretty much any energy that exists on the electromagnetic spectrum. But like basic magnetism and electricity are like the easiest for him to control. But he can also control light and radiation and like all these other different things.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
But he usually just moves metal around because that's the easiest thing for him to do.
The radiation thing explains how he makes mutants, I'm assuming. He could just be like, wham, mutant. Get to have a third arm. You do.
Oh, God.
Go read Defenders 16 and it'll tell you how he made it.
What I don't. What I don't understand is, so Colossus just got yeeted by a dude with metal, with power over metal. And his plan was, let me throw this metal wall at him.
Look, Colossus is also a cinnamon bun. He doesn't always think through things sometimes.
I'm pretty sure it's fairly possible that Colossus might be the original himbo.
Maybe. But it's fine. It's Colossus.
Which is better than Thunderbird, who feels like, even though he wasn't black, he feels like the original Hotep. He feels like that's how he treats women.
Yeah, fuck Thunderbird.
That's the real subtitle of this podcast. Uncanny Curse. Fuck Thunderbird.
Fuck Thunderbird.
I think we may have an episode title with no explanation. Just fuck Thunderbird.
Yeah, and he will be nowhere in the episode itself, but no. Fuck Thunderbird.
No, and how dare he be in that action figure set at Target with Storm.
Yeah, right. I don't know what that was about.
Ugh, that's awful.
That was some cultural inclusion from the Disney PR desk if I ever saw it.
Terrible. So, Colossus gets yeeted out of the building completely. Wolverine is stuck in a wall. Storm, I don't know where she is at the moment, but she, I think, got electrocuted.
Yeah, by her own lightning, that's gotta
suck. Yeah, and Nightcrawler gets smashed under a pile of metal. And so we got Banshee. Banshee's still flying around, still trying to do stuff. And then he gets narked as well.
Yep. Yeah, and Banshee's kind of like, well, you can't use your powers against me. And Magneto's like, but I can still use my power on everything in this room. So
yeah. Yeah.
I feel... So... Moira knew what all of these mutants did with their powers, right?
Yeah, but it's fine. Magneto was a baby. He can't hurt nobody. Hmm.
But she also knew that Magneto was not always a baby, right?
Oh!
I'm assuming.
So, and seeing as how she encountered a lot of mutants, I feel like she just didn't realize what chemicals she was potentially mixing and was not like, maybe I build my entire facility out of space age ceramics. Because I'm about to bring a super powerful mutant who, while now is a baby, could also be unbabyfied by something in this room.
Well, she was planning to recondition him before that happened.
Yeah, and then he would only use his powers for good.
Because
she had him when he was a baby.
Yeah. You wouldn't hurt the woman who raised you, would you?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that coin in Kevin Bacon's head in that movie begs to differ, but whatever. I'm going to say that considering his history, that may have triggered some very painful memories that would turn him into a murder child. Oh my.
But how does he have memories? He's a baby. I'm assuming.
Because he was once a man. And also, last time I checked.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Baby, like that's the other thing. That
makes the Holocaust tattoo disappear.
Also, that's the other thing. Are they entirely sure that he doesn't still have Magneto awareness just as a baby in a baby body?
I honestly don't think they thought it through this far.
No.
Once again, they bought a baby who is a Holocaust survivor with superpowers over metal into just a Frank Gehry building.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm now, sure one of the workers was like, well, I guess I'll just get murdered in 5 years.
Yeah. Now, what happens to Banshee on the next page is truly horrifying, because apparently...
Yeah, I just realized how horrifying it was.
Magneto pulls all the ferrous particles out of the air and wraps them around Banshee and encasing him in like a metal shell, and he just drops to the floor. There are no air holes.
Oh, Christ.
So, yeah.
Look, Magneto out here playing for keeps, okay?
He really is. Like, I ain't got time for the bullshit.
Breaking the Geneva Convention to doing war crimes. Magneto!
Look, I have been a baby for 5 years now.
Yeah. How you stay a baby for 5 years, I don't know. Maybe that was part of the bullshit, I guess.
How long was he actually a baby? Was it 5 years, or did they bring him in here a month ago? Do we really know?
I don't know. I know he was definitely a baby at the end of that Defenders issue, and he looks to be about 5 or 6 in this comic, so I don't know. That is assuming he is growing at normal rate, but he did get turned into a baby by some kind of weird alpha mutant power, which he also made, so
I think I'm just going to call Scott's this issue, here. Don't touch that baby.
Scott's here. He's blasting him.
Also, he probably should have just snuck attack him instead of announcing himself, but, you know.
You know, Scott's not a subtle individual.
Scott clearly plays by Kung Fu rules, which means you need to scream your attack as loud as possible as you're doing it, like a Dragon Ball Z character.
Yeah.
He should just walk into a room like Optic Blast.
Oh god. Pew pew beam.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, so Scott comes in, saves everybody, kinda yells at Wolverine for a minute, and then even Wolverine's like, huh, yeah, maybe we should go.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe
I do like what he does here on the next page, and it's kind of similar to what he does in the movie when Jean gets the shit on her face. How he like focuses his beam to blast the case off Banshee.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot that happened in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't even think I remember. Like, I'm searching my memory for that scene and nothing.
It's from, like, the first one, the very first one, yeah. I feel like.
Oh, I haven't seen that in forever, so.
I think, like, Toad throws goop at her, and she's, like, suffocating.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, I remember that.
It hardens on her face, and then he, like, focuses the beam and blasts it off her.
Yeah.
He's like, hold still.
Yeah.
I like you enough not to commit involuntary plastic surgery!
It's fine. It worked out, and worst. Then we got more movies that weren't good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that first one was okay.
Yeah.
Then it got weird.
Now, what's funny, getting back to this, what's funny is that the X-Men still want to fight, but Scott's like, no, we need to leave, like, now. We need to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, because, again, Scott's the only one who knows who Magneto is.
Yeah.
The other X-Men are just like, oh, this is just another asshole we have to deal with.
Like, yeah, and he's like, no, we need to get out of here yesterday.
Scott shows up, they're all fighting Magneto. He's like, what are you doing? Didn't any of you read the handbook?
No, they didn't.
And so, like, you see a Colossus go, what handbook? And he flies through a wall.
Hmm. Yeah, and you get this last little panel where, again, they're running past and, Wolverine's like, oh, hey, great, this bug-eyed broad's busted loose, who apparently was last seen in issue number 96.
Yeah. What I love!
Oh!
That's the Dragonfly lady, isn't it?
I don't know.
No, that's totally who it is. That's the Dragonfly lady who, like, owned herself with Cyclops beams because she's like, I'm just going to release all of your self-control, and then she blasted herself in the face with Cyclops eye lasers.
Maybe. I love how
according to this episode 96 is the one with the night demon, so I have questions.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, wait, what? Is she the night demon's girlfriend, living girlfriend? And she like You saw her head for a second, like, you make sure you get extra. Our insurance will only cover 50% of this.
No idea, but the X-Men escape.
Yeah, I love how at the end Magneto's like, well, they ran away, so sweet. That means I win.
I win. And we get this mutant X who's, I'm sure, a lovely, reasonable individual who is not going to try and destroy the world later.
I wonder if this is Proteus. It probably is.
No.
I don't know.
Isn't Mutant
X, I would assume it is,
the name of the project that made Wolverine?
No, that's Weapon X.
Weapon X.
Oh, it's Weapon X. Okay.
There was, however, a theme in, I believe, the 90s called Mutant X. There's like an alternate reality X-Men.
Look, Larry, lots of things happened in the 90s.
But I wonder if this person behind this door is actually Proteus. It might be.
Is that Moira's son?
That is Moira's son, yes.
Oh, good. She keeps her son locked up, too. That's nice.
Well, she has a very good reason, but
yeah. I know. I know.
I'm going to say that maybe her and Charles were really meant for each other because of the level of human atrocity they commit on other people who are of sentience and have human feelings.
I mean, her son can literally, like,
he melted Wolverine.
Bad things.
He melted Wolverine.
Yeah,
with
I don't care. At some point, you smack that kid upside the head and you say, stop melting our guests.
I'm not sure.
And then it'll melt you.
And I'm not sure if he has a whole lot of control over his powers.
Or his emotions.
That's a different thing.
I feel like stuff just happens.
That's a different thing. But like, that's like, you get him a nice, big, super durable glass cube scenario. Keep him like out in the desert. Make sure he has a bunch of video games and it's fine. Not keep him behind an armored death door, then call him Mutant X.
I mean,
Jesus.
He probably has a TV in there.
I'm sure he's got Lunchables. He's fine.
Because you can't see in, has he melted it? You don't know. Maybe a bad episode of a Friends rerun caused him to just boop, TV melt.
Don't know. I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
He's got Lunchables and Capri Suns.
A Lunchable.
I hope he has lots of Doritos and Mountain Dew, to be honest.
Well, he can turn.
Oh, what if you next with just a gamer gator?
He can turn the Capri Sun and Lunchables into Mountain Dew and Cheetos.
Oh man, I want that power.
That sounds gross.
I'm here for that power. That sounds great.
I'm the one currently going to engage in a laundry fluff and fold scenario, which just sounds so gross. But that sounds like some hillbilly mutant shit. Like, wow, I have Sunny D and I need Lunchables. I'm not so much upgrading from Sunny D as moving laterally into a food scenario.
Did you not eat Lunchables as a child?
Oh no, he's too bougie for that. we've established.
My mom stopped making me my lunch in like fourth grade.
Before then, you never got a Lunchable?
I mean, I got Lunchables sometimes, but we were also super fucking poor. Like, so poor.
They had to fluff and fold their own clothes on.
Yes, not only that, but we had to live in the extra room of my aunt's house.
Who I'm sure also had her laundry serviced by other people.
Probably, maybe, I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
Oh God! Okay, but then on
Starjammers here.
Starjammers. Now I will say though, I kind of wish they actually kept Lilandra's face hidden until the actual reveal, but because that's what they did in the show. Like, you didn't know what
she
was. You just saw her as this bug lady until she took the helmet off. It's like, oh, she's actually hot.
Oh my God! That like.
shot back to a Metroid scenario of like guys were like, oh, she's a hot lady. I can play in a bikini.
True. Does Star Jam have like his own comic?
I think they probably did at one point.
No, but he does have a Led Zeppelin cover band.
He definitely does.
Probably.
And by the way, where the fuck does Eric the Red have these cameras placed? Like,
oh, I don't know.
How is he always
you're talking about them? Down the bottom where he's just like watching?
Yeah, this is like you're kind of creepy, Eric the Red, just a little bit.
I imagine it's not cameras so much as he just has like little drones following people.
Whatever maybe. It is creepy as shit.
Listen, if it's the 70s and Eric the Red has tiny drones following people, he could be doing a lot better for himself than harassing a group of mid-teens, late 20-somethings.
He really could.
He could be like a billionaire.
But next issue, Phoenix Unleashed.
Yeah, next issue, I think we get to see the Phoenix do stuff.
Finally.
Maybe.
Possibly. Oh, right. I forgot the website where I'm, doing stuff. Doesn't actually go to the next issue for some reason. It, like, skips back 500 issues.
Seriously, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, a link fucked up somewhere.
Oh, that's so strange.
Yeah, we do see Phoenix. She does do stuff. Yay.
It's only been how many issues?
Several since she has come into being, where she was only into being for like 5 seconds and then immediately passed out.
Yep. Which spoiler alert, that's a recurring theme. She does stuff and then she passes out.
Sigh,
indeed. But she'll get there.
Brown.
She will get there. That's weird.
So, Lauren, you want to take us out?
Are we done? Do we have anything else we need to say about this issue?
I could go on for days about the ramifications of having a metal-controlling baby in a giant metal building, but, you know, we've been there.
Well, everyone, I guess that's it for us today. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode where Alex can go on about the ramifications of a...
Don't you fucking tempt me. You could squish that entire building into a suit of armor and fly around in it and murder people.
Do you know how you can listen to bonus episodes like Alex ranting about babies and metal?
Let's be clear, it does not exist yet.
Yet.
I'm trying to give people hope here. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. You can subscribe to the Patreon for as little as $1 a month.
Thank you.
And help us create this nightmare. And also listen to uncut podcast because I cut, you guys have no idea. I cut so much out of this thing before it goes up. I don't think this time we have much, but usually we have a like very lively discussion about stuff beforehand. Today, just the soul crushing of everything was just like, maybe we should get right into it. You can also follow us on Twitter at, Lauren, what's the Twitter?
At Kerr's Podcast.
Because Twitter wouldn't let us have nice things.
No, it would not.
But it now doesn't no longer have Trump, so that's a plus. And you can follow us on Instagram at Uncanny Curs, I believe.
Yes. And starting in this, we are recording this in the new year. It is 2021, and we are hopefully going to get better at updating our social media.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Why are you saying sure, Larry? You don't even have Instagram.
I'm totally agreeing with you. It's going to happen.
Tune in next time when we literally nail Larry to the wall, and we tape two smartphones to his face and pump all of social media into him at once and see what happens.
Please don't.
If you pay us $1,000 a month, we will do that. God damn it.
We've set a goal. If we know anything about the internet likes to achieve very sadistic goals.
Yeah. Yeah. We will make a Patreon tier for $1,000. And we will force Larry. We will force Larry to endure social media.
Right.
And then post it on the internet for you to enjoy.
We'll start a whole new YouTube channel called Larry Reacts.
Oh God, no.
Where we just subject him to like rage faces for an hour.
But the YouTube channel will only be available to our $1,000 subscriber tier.
Oh, somebody's gonna do that and we're gonna have to do this and it's gonna go bad.
I think you mean great because we'll have $1,000.
Or we'll break Larry. I don't know.
Larry can't be broken. Have you met him?
Well, thank you for your confidence.
Oh,
I mean, I have been enduring living in this frozen house for the last God knows how many years.
I was just thinking that, actually.
My will, so, yeah.
I was just thinking, Larry can't be broken. He's literally living in a house with no heat right now.
Hey, guys, we should probably stop recording now.
Probably. This is raising way too many questions and revealing way too much, so we should probably just say goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Give us money. We clearly need it. We'll be back in two-ish weeks. How does time work? I don't know.
Falls apart between then and now.
Also, I just want to add in, when Alex says we should probably wrap up, it's probably time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm the one who added the shit.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Don't be a cur. Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't be cur, ladies and gentlemen.